Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. You know, I always say the Lord thinks of everything. And when you have a healthy study of His Word, you realize He thinks of everything. No matter what trouble His people got into, He had a specific plan for it. But before He did the more drastic things, before He did the things where they go into captivity, He pleaded with them. He sent them prophets. He raised up prophets to tell them the truth. And every generation had this challenge. Every generation, the enemy was trying to spoil, trying to get them off track, trying to get them to a position where they would do God no good. And the Lord had a plan. When people continue to rebel and harden their hearts, then the Lord had to destroy them. He put them in a situation where they could do no evil. Terrible things would happen. Terrible things always follow witchcraft. People who dabble in witchcraft and idolatry, they cause the problems. Witchcraft is real. It's the counterpart. It's the enemy's version of God's blessings. And all of His promises are just as empty as a can. He baits people along. That's how Satan does. He doesn't have any power, any authority except for what people give him. His power is to deceive. He's not to be underestimated. He's a deceiver. He gives people false hope. And they follow it with all their might, and He uses them like puppets on a string. Now the Lord he's coming back. He thought of everything. And He made me aware of some things that's very important. Some people would wonder, why would a loving God make hell? They don't realize what God is doing. Daniel said that there would be an end of sin. This time, this will be the last fallen world. When God finished judging sin, when He finished out the week, there'll be no more sin. Now I'm talking about His week, a day being 1,000 years. When the week is finished, there'll be no more sin ever in His kingdom. All sin will be trapped in hell, all of it. Now, there's no room for sin in His kingdom. This is His kingdom. And when God finished judging, there won't be any more sinners. You'll look for a sinful man and won't be able to find one. Now, there's a scripture in Amos, I think it is, that talks about that. I'll have to listen to the whole book to find it, because I remember reading it years ago. You're going to look for an evil man and won't be able to find one. The meek will inherit the earth. Jesus has been saying these things all along, but people have not been putting the pieces together. It's important. Everything that God is doing is important. And we have to trust Him. The reason God made hell is to trap sin. And people that will not come out of sin, they will go to hell. Even though they're good in our eyes, even though they're nice, even though they've helped us in the past. The good works is not, that's not, that doesn't mean that they'll go to heaven. Heaven, you have to have your sins washed away, and you have to stay out of sin too. You have to do what's right because it's right. You have people that walk in love. That's why you overcome the law. The only way to overcome the law, first you have to have a new born-again spirit. that don't want to sin. See, your sin nature's been broken. A lot of preachers say they're sinners saved by grace. A more perfect way to say that is they were sinners, and now they're saved by grace and learning the ways of God. And because people live in the sinful world, they might do something. They might say something in a moment. Sin is here, but you don't have to act on it. And if you commune with the Lord and go in His presence and learn, He'll show you how to kill the residue of sin. And I repent. You know, I always ask the Lord to forgive me. There may be something that I don't know about yet. I don't want to smell like Satan in his nostrils. I don't want to do anything. I want all my thoughts to be right. I want all my thoughts to be pure. I want all my actions to be out of love. Everything I do, I want people to know that I care about them, and I love them, and I'm there for them. Now, these are tall orders. It's not always easy to do all this stuff, but I want to do it anyway. And when I have trouble doing it, I ask questions. I ask God to help me. He's my strength. He's my shield. He's my God. He's my Savior and He's my Lord. He's my Lord because I put Him in charge of me. I confess that I will do what's in His heart because I trust Him. He's earned my trust. And nobody trusts God unless they get to know Him. Trust is based on the past experience. Faith is on current experience. Vision is for future. Vision is a future reference. You can see yourself going forward. But this is important. Vision is developed faith. You can see yourself doing things. You develop the faith and you have vision. So you have to have vision to secure your life, to head in the direction you need to go. And then you can attract all the wisdom that you need to do it. But if you think you can't, you won't even try. That's why when people lack vision, they perish. When they lack knowledge, they're destroyed. It's important to go forward in the things of God. Always learn. It's easier to take time and learn of God. If you take 10% of your day and devote it to knowing God, you'll get somewhere quick. People give God 10% of their finances, and they do well if they do it in faith and in love. If they're trying to help people, they don't focus on the loss of money that they're yielding to God. They focus on the life of God going forward. And then they want to do more than that. They seek to do greater things. And God put them in a position to be a blessing. When you seek first the kingdom of God, your mind is on going forward in Him. And you're seeking to be a blessing, so then you end up doing good works, which puts spiritual wealth on your life and it opens greater doors. And when you seek His righteousness, you have foundation. The enemy can't topple your life. See, if you seek first the kingdom of God and not his righteousness with it, then the enemy will come and topple your life. He'll turn it over. He'll hinder you. Set traps in your path, and you won't know what to do because you have not dedicated yourself to obeying God's word. His version of righteousness is to love your brother. If you're doing things out of love, you're not going to lust after the women. You're not going to try to covet what others have. You're not going to put yourself ahead of others. You're not going to try to downplay other people's success. All those things that cause snares and problems and strife, you won't be doing that. You'll be doing the things that make sense, that build life, things that cause people to go forward and treasure love. But if you do things the wrong way, you can't go forward. It just don't work. Worry, strife, false ambition. the false things of life. You won't be doing that. You'll be doing the things that bless and things that God can reward you for. And it's important. I want to see people live and thrive in the knowledge of God, not barely get along, not barely make it. There's no life in that. It's time now to go forward. See, as we have foundation, we have the stability we need, and you don't have to go backwards. Sometimes people do great things, then they do bad things, and then they get out of pocket for a while, then they do something else great and wonderful, then they do something. It won't be a steady flow of the revelation of God and the actions of that revelation. See, we're designed to go forward. No matter what happens, we can rise above. You know, it's like Perry Stone said, we can live above the snake line. On very high mountains, I don't know the exact feet, but certain snakes don't go beyond, no snakes that go beyond the snake line. The air is thinner, they don't like it. And then it's colder. There's a certain part where the atmospheric pressure is just too difficult for them, and they don't go past the snake line. But we're designed to live above the snake line. Wherever, with all the things that Satan is doing against your life, the wrong things that happen is not an accident, it's an attack. People preach, when they preach false doctrine, doctrines of devils, that's an attack against the church. And it's a personal attack against your life, your potential, your advice, your persuasion. If the enemy can get you deceived, that deception will get in the way of you learning greater things. That's why people still struggle to be healed. Seducing spirits got into seminary school and told the preachers that healing went out with the apostles and there's no scripture for it. And they went along with it because the enemy put on a preacher mask. Well-known preachers that didn't know what they were talking about, they became his servants. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what's the difference? What is a true prophet and a false prophet? What's the defining difference? He said, the true prophet preaches the truth, and a false prophet preaches a lie. They prophesy falsely, false information. It's as simple as that. So when you say things, when we preach things that's not inspired by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, then we become false prophets. And I don't want to be a false prophet. My fail-safe is this. I'll say what God put on my heart, and then I'll stop. I'm not qualified to analyze it. I'm sanctioned to say what he gave me to say and encourage people along those lines, and then I stop. So I got concerned. I need to say more than I'm saying, so I study the Word so that I can be, I fill my heart with the Word. He'll pull up what he wants. As I study the Word of God, it's like putting files in a file cabinet. And when the Lord wants to use me, then I yield to him, and whatever he brings to my heart, then I speak it. And I pay attention. And when it's all over and done, everything I have a question about, I go and pray and ask him questions. My cousin, Johnny Reed, said something years ago. He's a businessman. He does a lot of business with people. And the Lord gave him a tip. He said, when people talk, get a firm understanding of what they're saying. Ask them questions till you have a firm understanding of what they're saying. I'm not putting it in the words he put it in, but that's what he was saying. So when he told me that, Mm-hmm. I visited him at his house that year. When he told me that, I said, well, that's a good idea. I'm going to do the same thing. So when people tell me revelation, I ask questions. But I mainly use it on God. When the Lord teaches me something, I ask questions. So I can get a firmer understanding so I can cooperate better. When you have a foundation, you can't fall. That's what 2 Peter chapter 1 teaches us. When he said, add to your faith virtue, the virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance brotherly kindness, all the things that make life. Faith is the power. It's the engine behind you accessing the things that God has given you. Faith is a definer. Whatever's wrong in your life, when you speak words of God over it, it changes everything. When you tell Satan to stop, he's got to stop. When you tell Satan to stop, he's limited. He's got to stop. I don't care what it is. When you tell Satan to stop, he's got to stop. Your faith is his limit. Your faith. You have the same faith God uses to make worlds, to bring balance, to restore things. Same faith that God gave you. The same faith that he uses is the same faith you use to get saved. You have the measure of faith. You got to build it. The faith you have is plenty. The word of God, like my pastor said, it helps get the doubt out. See, you got to have faith in your heart and no doubt in your heart. Some things that may be strange to your mind, you're not used to it. You've never seen it on this planet, but you live in a fallen world. Don't forget that this world is fallen. It's not like it's supposed to be. The kingdom of God is in you if you believed on Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is with you. God is right there with you to help you. But it's down to you. You got to start the fight of faith. You've got to start it. You've got to say it. If you don't say anything, he won't either. Because what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. What you say goes. Now, it's up to you to do things in the directions of God. You can do it in the direction of God, or you can do it in your own strength. It's up to you. But if you don't put anything in motion, heaven won't either. God is limited by what you decide to do in your life. It's got to be good with you. It's got to be your demand. You got to say something. When Lucifer became Satan, it's because he said something. So you got to say something too. You got to say something to reverse his works. If you let him do it, he'll keep doing it. If you let him deceive your wife, he'll keep deceiving your wife. If you let him deceive you, he'll keep deceiving you. And when people receive deception as doctrine, it limits them. It limits their life, it limits their potential, it limits their character, it limits their advice, it limits everything. It stalls everything. It's a problem everywhere. But when we follow God, we go forward in life. And when we do the things of God, it works. Seeking first the kingdom of God, learning his ways, learning his potential, yielding to him, all of it works. Seeking his righteousness, it works. Gives us great advantages. We're not limited anymore. We should never act like we are. And I'm out of time again, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. We got to go forward. Always go forward. Ever growing. Ever learning. Ever coming to the knowledge of the truth. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord.